This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Eric Stokeby, 4th Generation, Missouri Meerschaum, and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing?
Dude, I'm good. Your Apple Watch is going nuts.
Okay. Yeah, I hate the fact that I've got this thing. Yeah, I mean...
This is the deal. When you own your own business and you're trying to get a sophisticated app up off the ground, you have to own devices that you might not normally use.
Right, because you have to test them out.
Because you want to test to see if it works on such and such device. So you... are using this Steve Jobs device on your wrist, and
I mean this is like biblical, right? Isn't this a sign of the beast or something of that nature? Like, honestly,
they're gonna print one of those little Apple things on your forehead.
Yeah, I've turned it off now, so that should no longer be a problem. Man, how are you doing today,
dude? I'm good. Lots going on around the old Country Squire here.
Is there? I think there's like some sort of like Country Squire bat mitzvah that needs to happen of some sorts for you.
Well, okay. First, okay. Let's talk about an event we have coming up soon.
Yeah, actually, that event is a sponsor for this week's episode.
It is. We have the fourth generation pipes and tobaccos, plus the Kamoy pipes and tobaccos will be at the Country Squire on, June 16th?
Man!
Which is Thursday night.
Dude!
And we'll be right here at the shop from 5 to 8 p.m. Tons of pipes, tons of tobacco, lots of giveaways. Of course, the fourth generation folks, Eric Stokeby, good friends of the show, and they will be giving away a lot of leather goods, particularly, and a pipe. But everyone's talking about that messenger bag that is made for all the pipe stuff, you know, and it's just so awesome. It's, Stokeby, when they came out with this deal, they just really nailed it. It's a beautiful, it comes in a brown and a black, leather messenger bag. And, we'll have several of those up here that night, specifically made for pipes and on. Yeah, man, lots of pipes, discounts and things like that. So, June 16th, from 5 to 8 p.m., Fathers, Friends, and Fire is the name of the event.
Here at the Squire. Now, if I'm not mistaken, right. I mean, this is an event that's actually happened kind of across the country.
That's right. A lot of tobacconists have taken this on over the past month, just kind of in preparation for a Father's Day, kind of summertime, extravaganza type thing.
Yeah.
But it's a thing you can come grab pop a new pipe, some kind of nice gift. And come, have fun and probably win something and buy yourself something.
Here's what we want you to do. Check out the show notes for this episode. We'll have a link to the Facebook link, which actually lists all the locations going on. We'll also share that out on the Facebook page. But if you've got this event going on in your local hometown, go and let them know you heard about it on Country Squire Radio.
That's it.
All right. So there's the sponsor. This is a little bit different. We're getting the sponsor out of the way a little bit early. Because we've got some big news. You've got some big news.
Man, I'm a small business owner now.
So the Country Squire Tobacconist has been, it's been a staple in the Jackson, Mississippi, area for
45 years.
45
now.
Years.
That's right.
In that time, it was originally founded, of course, the original owners, the Reeves, who owned it for
Jim and Gwen.
Many years.
That's right.
Passed it along to their daughter, mm-hmm. Kim, who has been the owner, up until recently, the entire life of this, podcast.
Of our podcast, that's right.
And just recently. How recently?
Wednesday of last week.
Wednesday?
Not even a week.
Wednesday of last week. Ladies and gentlemen, the torch has been passed. This stable, not just in the Jackson, Mississippi area, but in the industry as a whole, the Country Squire, now under new ownership, Mr. John David Cole, I present you to the world as the owner of the Country Squire.
Look, it's been 5 days and I hadn't burned it to the ground yet. Although it'd be a great smelling fire.
That'd be amazing.
Man, no, it was awesome. This has kind of been in the works for a while. And, we've had a lot of y'all have written in and even called in and been like, man, what's going on? Like, I see a lot of empty tobacco jars behind y'all and I hadn't seen as much activity on social media and things like that. And to be honest, kind of letting the cat out of the bag, we over the past 2 months, it has been a really, really feverishly busy time of trying to orchestrate this deal and get everything together. And anyway, we were able to do it. And Kim, the owner, who I and Mrs. Reeves' daughter, whom I dearly love, and has taken such good care of me. She several months ago approached me as thinking, you know, she wanted me to be the one to kind of bring her legacy into the next generation, you know, and it was very honoring, very, very honoring. And so, over the past several weeks, a couple months, you know, it's just been insane trying to get all this stuff worked out and opening new accounts and, new tobacco licenses and just all the things that come along with, you know, opening and running a small business. Even if a business has been there for 45 years, it's just so much to do when transition is involved. So, anyway, we got it done last week and so we're going to start stocking back up our inventory again next week and get a bunch of new pipes and everything. But more than anything, aside from all that stuff, it's just a big honor. You know, I feel like taking over an institution like this is just beyond me, you know. And I don't even feel like it's mine. I feel like I'm just kind of the caretaker shepherd that's going to, you know, maybe take it to the next person. Man. You know, it's like holding the torch and just trying to take really good care of it until the next person comes along. And the Squire, like so many old fashioned tobacconist pipe shops across the country, it has a spirit all its own. Its customers and community are very unique and extremely, sophisticated, but also just very caring and tender. These are people that love one another, care for one another, give each other a hard time, but in the best way. You know, and we just have a legacy. You know, we're sitting at this tobacco bar that doggone Jerry Clower used to sit, right there and just tell stories forever and ever. And, it's things like that that just really bring me pause about, kind of taking this over. I'll be honest, Bo. I signed the documents. Kim and I were out back and we kind of did this and we were both real emotional. And then I just cried for about 10 minutes. Everyone left and I was just out back weeping. So, it was great. Mrs. Reeves, who I had the pleasure of working for about a year until she passed away. She started this shop in 1970 with her husband, Jim, and they called it the Country Squire because they didn't know if a pipe shop would make it in Jackson, Mississippi. And so a name like the Country Squire, we've talked about this before on the show, but, you know, with a name like that, you could sell a lot of things, maybe clothing or, you know, gifts or, you know, all kinds of things. But the pipe shop took off and it's become a legendary tobacconist in the South. And I'm just glad to be associated with it. I really am. And anyway, here's to 45 more years.
Man, congratulations. Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm just, as a friend and a brother, man, I'm just so proud of you.
Thank you, brother.
As a customer of the Country Squire for several years now, I can say, I mean, it's not, and I think that many, if not all of the customers would echo this. It could not be in better hands. So, we are all honored and thrilled to have you at the helm. And in fact, commanding this beautiful vessel that we have here into the next era of pipes and pipe tobacco.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. I would regret if I did not say that our listeners and, you know, viewers too, now that we're on YouTube, but y'all are a part of this. Like a shop like this in today's world, think about all the stores that have gone out of business with the advent of the internet. Okay. Brick and mortar, in a lot of industries has really suffered. This, like what we're doing right now tonight,
knocking
the mic around. This makes me feel so optimistic about the future of Country Squire because the community is so robust. It's not just the people in our sleepy little town in the South. It's folks all over the world. And we just had another pipe pilgrimage on Friday, actually. Josh came all the way from Atlanta, literally six hours away, just to come visit us on Friday. He called me Thursday afternoon and was like, man, please tell me you're going to be there. Please tell me you're going to be open. And we were, and he came, drove all the way. And, you know,
people have to start calling me. I want to be here, man.
Well, you know, okay. But, you know, it's that thing. It's such a special thing. It doesn't happen very often. It's like the stars have to align for a place like this to be in existence in today's world. And by God's grace, we are thriving and, you know, really, moving forward and everyone's really excited. Our customers are so loyal and faithful and the regulars that hang out, you guys, everyone has just been so supportive. So, I walk into this feeling extremely good about the future of our shop and feeling very blessed.
So, man, yep. Exciting time.
Yeah, man.
Congratulations.
Bring it on.
And what better week could there possibly be for the type of episode that we're doing today? This, of course, is a Squire Select.
Man, we get to drink.
Yeah. So if you've never tuned in for a Squire Select before, if this is your first time listening to a Squire Select episode, the idea is that we take various beverages. And I think it's only been beverages thus far. We've done tea, we've done coffee. Primarily, though, we do whiskey.
Yeah. No, we generally do brown water.
That's right.
Yeah. We did wine one time.
We did. And I think we did actually gin once.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. We got a lot of flack for that.
No, you got a lot of flack.
I got a lot of flack. Yeah. You went into that episode like kicking and screaming. You're like, are we really going to do this? You know, I thank you for letting me do that because I'm a gin drinker.
It was good.
I love gin.
We'll do gin again, but today we are actually doing some brown water.
We're reverting back to the whiskey.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, man.
Squire Select.
Or
so
reprogressing.
That reprogress isn't that just called regressing?
Well, it would reverting would mean stepping back, and so we're taking a step forward, but we're covering old ground. I don't know. Let's get the whiskey.
I'll drink to that. Man, this is... So generally what we do on Squire Selects is we will introduce a couple of drinks and then associate with some pipe tobacco that I think pairs well along with those drinks. And so got a couple of good selections tonight. The second one's really interesting. We're going to start out with this black bottle. This is a blended Scotch whiskey. It says it's called Black Bottle, curiously rich and slightly smoky whiskey, crafted to a secret family recipe. And on the back, it says in 1879, Gordon Graham had an ambition to create a blended Scotch whiskey without compare, the perfect dram, if you will. Today, the same pursuit of perfection can still be found within every drop of the Black Bottle. Distinctively rich and slightly smoky, this is a Scotch whiskey with a genuine character. So it's a blended Scotch, so it's going to be a good price point for folks that I think are familiar with bourbon or just traditional American or Canadian style whiskey, but might want to kind of stick their toe in the water with the Scotch and kind of get an idea of what maybe a little bit of that peat, a little bit of that smoky kind of feels like. So there's some coffee notes and maybe a little background of caramel. Super smooth finish, not tons of bold flavor. It's one of those that's just going to give you a real kind of smooth, peaty, scotchy flavor, which is really nice. So I'm going to pour us up a dram here.
Yeah. I like the way you described this, man, because, I like peatiness.
Yeah.
I'm big on the peat.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, wow. That's different.
It's different. The thing about...
It's got like a fruity...
The thing about Black Bottle, this like I mentioned, this is such a good introductory Scotch for a lot of folks that maybe just want to... either they've had some low-level scotches and are wanting to kind of maybe take a little baby step forward or are just really used to bourbons and, American-style whiskeys and things like that. This is a Scotch. It's going to introduce you to what peat tastes like, but it's really just really smooth, lots of very airy, and the finish, you get little notes of caramel and coffee, which I think are kind of nice. So, and you mentioned fruit. You get kind of a little fruity flavor there too, huh?
Yeah, I got to tell you, I don't think I'm a fan.
That's okay.
I laughed when you were kind of describing it there because it almost feels like a lot of times when I want my kids to eat something they don't want to eat, like I cover it in cheese. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious.
That's probably not good. I don't know. But
your wife does the same thing with you, by the way.
Right. That's why I put on the extra pounds.
Right.
But no, you can almost kind of tell like there's like a real sweetness, like a fruity sweetness with it. And then you're right. It's got that peat, but it's like... It's almost like a dab. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean,
in the background.
To be fair, I like some real smoky scotch.
It's in the background. Yeah. It's funny when the guys at the liquor store next door, or if you're cultured and in the South and polite, you say the package store.
Right.
But at the package store next door, they came over after they found out that I'd purchased the shop and sold my life to the landlord for the next 5 years. And they brought me a bottle of Ardbeg, and it's a particular, I can't remember the exact number, but it's the Ardbeg that's like, I don't know, in Mississippi, it's like $80 a bottle or just something ridiculous, And they described it as, burning ashes and turning that into liquid and then drinking it. So, that might be something we could review down the road, but super good. I understand what you're talking about with
it's
the peat.
It's so sweet.
But this is a sweet, mellow Scotch that I think just the peat is definitely in the background, but think about for folks that have never been introduced to scotches before.
I get it. Look, and, again, you would not give somebody Laphroaig if they've never had scotch before.
Yeah, if you did, if you wanted
them in the face.
Yeah, if you wanted them to be a scotch drinker, you probably would not. Yeah. So a tobacco to pair with this, I thought was a lot of fun. This is St. James Woods. This is a McClelland blend. You can see the just real beautiful McClelland tin that you can always expect from them. This is the 100 gram tin, so it's got a real nice weight to it. This particular tin is actually aged from 2008, which is kind of interesting. So it's really, really old tobacco here. But this is a mellow Virginia. Okay, you think stoved, just real mellow, kind of creamy Virginias, which I thought paired nicely with this. I'll read the back of this, which the folks at McClelland write. Probably Mary McNeil wrote this because she's such a poet. But yeah. It says, matured Virginia, a sophisticated broken flake of matured red and stove Virginias pressed with the finest Louisiana Perique, natural sweetness with Perique's compelling character. So as you know, McClelland does not make a traditional, like a Orlick Golden Slice style flake or a Mac Baron Navy flake type flake. You know, all their flakes are going to be kind of sold as a broken flake. So, but they are always good. They have such a good, robust, stable of Virginias that they're always bringing out. And so anyway, give that a smell.
St. James Woods, of course, the patron saint of acting. He portrayed, he was the voice of Hades, actually, in Disney's Hercules.
Isn't the high school in Family Guy named James Woods
it
High
is
School?
James Woods High.
And he's actually come on the show before?
Several times.
Is that right? Yeah.
I think he's like a regular character at this point. All right, so I can, this is a good pairing. In the sense that I don't necessarily like this scotch, but I can see it.
Pappy Joe mentions that you should probably stay away from Speyside Scotch, which is has very little peat and is high in the honey flavor. And you can definitely
I do like honey now.
You can definitely tell some honey in here, but it might not. For some reason, it might be a mixture that just isn't.
Maybe I wouldn't like honey with scotch, but I do like
the thing is when you think of drinking scotch, you might be thinking of something different. You know, it's like people come to the pipe and they're like, well, I like blueberry cobbler, but I don't necessarily want to taste blueberries when I smoke my pipe kind of thing. And then some people are the opposite. They're like, I like tobacco, but when I smoke my pipe, I want it to taste like a cherry pie, So,
it's interesting. I hadn't thought about it, but you're right. If I thought I was drinking bourbon, I might be a little bit more open to it, but yeah, I can see this. I mean, there's almost kind of a softness, I would say, kind of to the tin note of this.
It's soft. It's very soft.
James Woods.
Yeah. Again, this is aged Virginia tobacco. Virginias, as they age, get super mellow.
It's a beautiful looking tobacco.
And it's just really gorgeous. Every time I open a tin of McClelland Virginias, I kind of feel like it's just this magical experience because it's, the Virginias, they're a little thick cut. They're kind of broken apart in these little chunks. And so they just make a real, real pleasant experience. You almost feel like you've got like a little art project in there or something.
I feel that way whenever I get a tin of McClelland, actually. Entire package deal is a real, it's like an art project. I like that.
It's a real experience.
All right, so good pairing.
So black bottle, St. James Woods. Yep, there it is. I'm going to put the lid on here before this dries out.
I wonder if James Woods is a pipe smoker.
We should get on that.
We should send him a tin of St. James Woods.
He is the patron saint of, what'd you say?
Acting, I think.
Of acting?
Yeah.
It's something like that.
Yeah.
He's a very poor one. Okay, so this is a...
What are you talking about? You don't like James Woods?
No, he's just a very poor saint.
He's not a good saint.
Yeah, I think that he probably makes a bad... I like James Woods.
His acting's
fine. No, he's fun. Yeah, I like him. No, he's great. He's great. I don't know if I'd wear a medallion of him around my neck.
Yeah, all right.
Let's move on.
What do we got? You're keeping this one hidden.
All right, this one is interesting, and... in light of me recently purchasing this institution,
yes,
I thought we'd kind of take a trip down memory lane and revisit the lady that I had the chance of working for before I started managing the shop. And her name was Gwen Reeves. And when she died, she was 89 years old, and she came up to the shop every single day until she died. And she was one of the most sweet, just faithful, generous, passionate, and sophisticated women I've ever met in my life. And she liked bourbon.
Yeah, she did.
And every day when she'd go home, she said, there's something about when I get home, I just have to have my toddy. So she would sit in her backyard. She was a big landscape person and gardener, and so she'd sit in her backyard, and she would would overlook her plants that she worked at so hard, and sit there and pet her cat in her backyard, and she would drink her toddy, and that was kind of her ritual. And as a child of the Depression, this is a lady that was born in the 1910s. And she was actually, obviously extremely frugal. She's someone that was not particularly fond of letting go money, even for luxury things that, were a treat for her. There were, just wasn't something that she was used to doing very often. So the bourbon she drank was, it was cheap bourbon. But it's very special, and we actually have some from her last batch.
Man.
that I hold on to and only take a sip of on special occasions.
Man.
And so tonight, we are going to drink from Mrs. Reeves' Early Times Whiskey.
Yes, sir. I remember.
It's so old school, man.
Dude, I remember I found that because,
it's amazing.
Let's pull back the curtain here a little further. I mean, here at the Country Squire, of course, you've got this beautiful tobacco bar where we're actually broadcasting from right now. Mm-hmm. Back behind us, we've got these beautiful empty jars of tobacco.
That will be full very
soon. That will be filled very soon.
Right.
Behind that is an office.
That's right.
And that office, as most establishments would be, the office is, of course, off limits to the patrons.
That's right.
Or that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Because some of the regulars have started using that office and have for many years.
That's right.
As a liquor store.
To store stuff, right.
Yeah, well, to store liquid, and specifically liquor of some
liquid
kind.
Encouragement, right.
And so, I remember very one specific week when I bought a bottle of bourbon, and
right.
I bought it, I left it there, and I came back the next week, and it was all gone.
Right, right.
And I knew.
Remember that hurricane we were talking about that time? The hurricane that came
the hurricane through? Took it. That's what it was.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Anyway, so, but I remember very specifically grabbing that because, there's a communist nature to the bourbon.
Our
socialist nature, if you will.
If it's in there, it's kind of fair game, right?
Fair game.
I mean, you can leave stuff there, but just know that it may or may not be there when you get back. Yours was not.
I remember pouring a little bit of the old time here, and you telling me, I don't. Did you know what it was at the time, or is that when it clicked?
Yeah, no, I did.
Man, because you told me that, and I was like, oh. This is sacred.
I know.
I was like, something should be, this needs to be something.
I know,
like,
right?
It should be like in a museum. It belongs in a museum. This is,
well,
man.
It's from Mrs. Reeves' private stash. And I was blessed to receive all of it when she passed away. And, of course, her daughter Kim, who I love very dearly, who owned the shop for the past 4 years before I recently bought it, she, when Mrs. Gwen died, Kim was kind enough to give me a few of her dad's pipes and all of her mom's liquor. and so it's really great. And so this cheap Early Times whiskey, I've finished most of the bottle, but I only saved this last little bit for special occasions.
Let's
so
do it.
Let's have a little sip.
Man.
This is very humble whiskey. And Bo, I know you're I know your palate is very refined.
Now
and,
I see why you started me off with this.
But
no, that's
but that, I'm hoping for our listeners and viewers tonight that the story behind this will make this worth drinking.
Yeah, I've had it before.
Because most people, when they drink or think of Early Times whiskey, they, it's good for cleaning pipes. it may or may not, be good for, I don't know, if you need to clean your rifle barrel or a car battery or, something like that. I there's lots of uses for whiskey like
this. I got some car batteries in here, brother.
Yeah, so anyway, let's honor Miss Gwen and have just a little sip.
Man. Gwen Reeves.
To Gwen Reeves and the Country Squire.
Cheers.
Yep. Yeah, she was stronger than me.
Man, that's a smooth drink right
there. It's actually not too bad.
It's really not.
Yeah,
it's
really good.
It's like I said, I can understand why you started me off with this black bottle here, because this tastes like the nectar of the gods by comparison.
I know, right? I know. Man. Now, the Early Times, it's interesting. So this is the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby. And so if you go to Kentucky Derby.
Hang on now. I thought the Kentucky Derby official bourbon changes every year. Is that not right?
Well, I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
I know the past. I know in the recent past, it has been the official bourbon of
Interesting.
The Kentucky
okay.
Derby.
Okay.
And so they make mint juleps out of this. Real popular to make mint juleps.
And
you can kind of taste some of the sweetness in there. It's a whiskey that goes really well you know, with all the mint and, you know, sugary simple syrup and all that kind
of stuff. It's not an offensive whiskey. That's really what it comes down to. Like, you know, the black bottle has some very intense tastes of various kinds that don't necessarily belong
together.
This
is real mellow and kind of, it's got a little bite, but it's, you know.
It's a good cocktail whiskey.
Yeah, it's a good mixing whiskey.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So you have a lot of folks that drink it just because of that. But anyway, you know, in matter of fact, Pappy Joe tweets in right now. He says it's a good mixing whiskey, which I tend to agree with. But yeah, and of course we have it in our luxurious plastic bottle here tonight. And so tonight I have paired this whiskey with a really good tobacco that I enjoy very much that has a lot of strength to it. And this is Solani Virginia Flake with Perique. And if you're familiar with the Solani Virginias, you'll you know, kind of recognize that you know, white tin with the little yellow outline on the label. I think it you know, just has a real kind of clean look to it. But this stuff just. It just got so much strength to it, man.
Yeah.
It's like, and you smoke about a half a bowl before you get done with the bowl, and you're like, oh, that's what Perique tastes like, because you just get this like kind of pepper bomb, you know, in your face. And I thought the bite of the early times would go really nice with the Solani Virginia Flake with Perique. So I'm gonna let you smell this. This is a tobacco you want to smoke when you got a little something on your tummy.
Oh yeah. You know, it makes sense to pair with this whiskey, like you said. I mean, it's a good mixing whiskey, and so, you know, it's the whiskey's not too offensive, so a tobacco, I mean, I hate to say offensive for the tobacco, but tobacco that's got quite a flavor punch, it makes sense.
I think it's good. I like the Solani, especially if I'm, you know, kind of tired or trying to wake up, or if I'm in the middle of a very intense activity where I need, you know, need a kind of a boost or a kick or something to help me focus, you know, kind of that extra punch. Sometimes it's just something to kind of help you hone in on something. I find that a lot with, you know, tobaccos that have higher nicotine content.
Does it always come in the bacon strips?
It does. Yeah, it does. So they come in little square tins, and this one came out of a, I believe, a 50-gram tin or a 1.75 ounce tin. So,
excellent pairing, man.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I thought the strength of that, and it went well with the early times, which, you know, it is Kentucky whiskey. They call this Kentucky whiskey. It is not a bourbon, even though it's made in Kentucky, it does not meet all the bourbon standards for that.
I mean,
for a variety of reasons.
They knew what they were doing.
They knew what they were doing. It's in a plastic bottle, you know.
Exactly.
Come on. So, but anyway, man, this is the last time we will drink out of this bottle until the Country Squire is 50 years old.
Man,
so that'll go back. Isn't that fun?
Awesome.
Yeah. Cheers,
awesome.
Man. Yeah.
Look, I've already drank all mine.
Oh, that's okay.
Downed it. Yeah, that's what a great legacy. What a great story to go along with such a mediocre whiskey. That's awesome.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. I know, right? the only thing that could redeem a whiskey like that is the sweet, wonderful woman that nursed a glass of it every night.
That's so beautiful. I love it, man. Thank you for sharing. That means a lot to me.
Man, absolutely. Yep.
Well, hey, man. You know, we've got some great pairings here. We love pairing the whiskeys with tobaccos, and you know, you need something to smoke various tobaccos with.
You do.
In fact, as you smoke different tobaccos of varying tastes and varying makeups, you're going to want a good pipe that you know you can kind of put through the ringer, have a bunch of different tasting tobaccos and not have to worry in terms of the quality or leaving too much cake. And you know
what's
really good for that?
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is a corncob pipe.
A corncob pipe from Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. That's right.
Man,
we've got a couple of really interesting pipes tonight, and I love... big fan of these shapes that we're featuring tonight.
But we're from Mississippi. We have to be.
We got to be.
Yeah.
We're talking, of course, about the Huck Finn and the Tom Sawyer.
Now, Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer, you know, obviously characters made famous by Mark Twain. He actually invented them. I don't know if you knew this or not.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Right.
Of course you did. Mark Twain, of course, created these characters of Huck Finn, and Tom Sawyer. Tom Sawyer being the original character, that Huck Finn being a spinoff character that you know, what would you say, but between the two, which character do you think really kind of has a little bit more of a legacy behind them?
I'm a Huck Finn guy.
Huck Finn was kind of the Lord of the Rings to Tom Sawyer's Hobbit.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm more of a Huck Finn guy.
Yeah,
I think it just has a little more staying power. It's more commonly aware of in the, you know, literary, I don't know, world, as far as just, you know, pop culture or whatever. But
what about these pipes? Which one do you prefer?
Man, I've got to say, they're both beautiful. The Tom Sawyer is nice because it's kind of got that short, almost like the Morgan we talked about before, got that real short, kind of compact look that's just real easy to tote with you. It's super versatile. I've got to be honest, though, man. I'm a sucker for the Huck Finn.
Yeah?
That, if a Bing's favorite from Savinelli
right.
were a Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe, it would be a Huck
Finn. It'd be a Huck Finn.
I mean, look at that, man. It's imagine in your mind, if you're listening, it's got a long elongated stem with kind of a nice apple shaped bowl, small to medium size, and the amber stem on that just really takes up a nice half portion of that really long stem. So it's a extremely elegant pipe, I think, for a corncob.
Well, I was gonna say it's an apple bowl, but yeah, definitely kind of on the smaller side in terms of bowls. Maybe a little bit smaller than you might assume from an apple shape, but a beautiful pipe. Both of these great quality pipes from the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum. If you haven't gotten yourself a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, these are some great pipes to get. And if you happen to have a Huck Finn, take yourself a picture smoking that this week. We will retweet that out on Twitter. And if you happen to be actually rafting down the Mississippi while you're doing it, all the more reason why we'd retweet it.
Absolutely.
So big thanks to Missouri Meerschaum. Check them out. Y'all support them. And again, thank them for supporting us.
Pipe question of the week.
We have listeners that raft down the Mississippi River. We might. We may find out really soon.
You know,
I know one of them is a riverboat, is a boat captain on the Gulf. On the Gulf of Mexico. But I don't know about that.
I'd be curious if you happen to be. Let us know. Pipe question of the week this week comes in from Eric. I'm going to say Rise, but I'm honestly not sure how to pronounce your last name, sir.
Eric Reese, maybe?
Reese?
Something like that.
Says, new listener to the show. Love you guys. This is a pipe culture question. I recently moved down to Houston and decided I would visit my local tobacconist. The place has a members-only lounge where I was told I could not sit. There is no other seating in the shop, and the employees spend a good deal of their time in the lounge. Is this a common place? I always thought a smoking shop was a place where the customers mingled with each other and the proprietor. Eric, good question. I have a feeling that many have experienced similar situations as yours, and I speak as someone whose early pipe experiences kind of fell very similarly. But we have with us John David Cole, now the owner of the Country Squire. John David, is this commonplace? Do you like to keep the regulars separate from the new customers?
Yeah, that's why I never let you in. I'm just kidding. I have seen shops like this. There's one right outside of San Francisco. I forget the name of the shop, but they have a smoking lounge, and you have to pay a fee to sit in the lounge to smoke, and it's for members only and that kind of thing. And they're very rigid on that. And a lot of this is for shops that maybe are super busy and just have a really limited amount of space. I mean, before I bash this shop, whatever shop this is, which there are some, by the way, there are some really, really great pipe shops in Houston, Texas. Of course, I was born in Houston, Texas.
That's right.
I have a lot of family there, and love Houston. There's several really good pipe shops there, and I love to look at those when I go back home. But a lot of these shops, they may have a reason for that. You know, whether it be a super busy shop and their space is limited, or I just don't know the particular circumstance. But that is a thing that happens. So if you do bump into that, that's not completely out of the ordinary in the pipe world. Having said that, that will never happen at the Country Squire. if you come in here and are a pipe smoker and want to just hang out with the folks that are here and also sample what there is to sample and breathe our air and smoke our tobacco and share our space, you're always welcome. And I think on average, to be honest with you, I have been in shops that are like that, but most pipe shops are gonna tend towards the come one, come all kind of model. And I think that is more indicative of who pipe people are.
Look, there's such an air of snobbery that exists in the pipe community. And I know many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that is so toxic to the community and to the industry. And we can't have that.
You're a snob.
Good answer. I am not. When it comes to pipes and pipe tobacco, I certainly am not.
Be careful here, because there's a certain snobbery that is acceptable. Like we like people that know a lot about pipes and know a lot about tobaccos and are really passionate about those things, but it's when it becomes kind of an exclusive thing.
See, you know, that's what I'm talking
about. Yeah. This is not, you know, 1960 where, you know, only certain people walk in the door and they smoke only Dunhills with only this kind of tobacco. And, you know, your average pipe smoker in today's culture looks like you and me. They're kind of, you know, bearded, disheveled, you know, young people that are, you know, progressive and involved in different things. There's just not as many, people in traditional industry, banking, lawyers, doctors that smoke pipes anymore, although those people do. But you've got a lot of just, you know, normal working guys, creatives, a lot of, blue collar folks that just smoke pipes. And I don't know. I want to be about that here.
When we did the first one of the first pipe culture episodes we did, one of the emails, and we got a couple of them, and kind of, I think it was actually the first episode, we're just like, what is pipe culture? That's what we were asking. We were asking the question, what is pipe culture? It started that entire series. And a couple of times we got comments and emails that talked about pipes as the great equalizer.
Yeah.
That it didn't matter what walk of life you were. It didn't matter if you were young or old, you know, male, female, no matter what your background was, the pipe is kind of an equalizer. We can all come down and sit down and sit next to each other in a pipe shop and have a conversation. Even if we have extreme differences of opinion, sit there and enjoy a pipe.
It becomes a common denominator.
It becomes a common denominator that just breaks down those barriers. For, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, the industry has changed. And so I think that this idea of kind of tearing off your clientele is bad, because your new customers coming in, if they feel like they're excluded and there's a paywall, well, look, this is not smoking a pipe is not exactly just something you just pick up and you got it. You know, it's not riding a bike.
Yeah.
It's a complicated process. You need mentors.
Yeah.
Like that. And many of you have come to this podcast because you were looking for mentorship. So I would implore the pipe, and you can't, I know that you want to be more diplomatic here. I'll be a little bit more aggressive.
And I mean that. That's fine.
I would implore shop owners who have this kind of system, think about ways that maybe new customers, maybe they can, I mean, I understand, you know, you want to have kind of membership and you want to make sure that there are benefits to having membership, and that's part of your revenue stream. And I'm not knocking that, but I would encourage you with your new customers, especially give them like a 3-month lounge access or something like that. But you need those.
It's an interesting
you
idea.
Need those new customers mingling with those old timers or those longtime customers or those longtime pipe smokers, people who are in this industry, because in many respects, those are the people that are going to mentor them and teach them how to do this.
You know, that is a good point. I have seen many people who, have struggled with the pipe, you know, just to get started. We all, you know, look, if you're listening to this podcast, you love the pipe. We all love the pipe. We're all, you know, relatively, aware of the, you know, minutiae of pipes and also have fought through how to keep it lit and, you know, different types of tobacco and all these things. And there are people out there that do need that kind of support to power through those early frustrating stages of it. And so I think you're right. There is an element where, the person, the neophyte, the person that's new to this, is only going to be, they're only going to be, encouraged to stick with it because of other people going through common situations. So, anyway, I think there is something to that. I will say, you know, again, that, I don't know the local circumstances. I don't know, what kind of pipe shop, Pappy Joe had a great point. He just tweeted in that this, you know, may or may not be relevant in this situation, but the private smoking lounge may be related to some kind of local regulation or some kind of local ordinance.
Even still.
And even then, like you said, you know, there's no, sense in which maybe the staff and maybe the owner of the shop wouldn't just stay over there all the time. I don't really understand that.
Well, even if that's the situation, you need to encourage the people who are members to actually spend time in the more public space.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that.
I don't know. I think, you know, but, you know, kind of in summary, I think we've got a situation where this does exist. It is a thing. You do have that out there and, and that's okay. For some people, it isn't how it runs at my shop. I can say that now. But it's not how it runs at most pipe shops, you know, and I think it's, just kind of a come one, come all, every man's, style, place is more indicative of where the pipe culture and the pipe community is at in general.
Well, one way or the other, great pipe question, Eric. Thanks for sending that in. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in, csr@podastery.com. You can also send it in on Facebook and Twitter as well.
Quick fire with the Squire.
Quick fire question.
Bring the heat, son.
All right, this is the last one from Varge, the pipe pirate. Everybody loved my
You
pirate
like
accent.
Saying that, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah. That was good. All right, here we go. Food is the topic here.
Okay. Something I'm very well acquainted with.
Wrigley Spearmint or Juicy Fruit?
Juicy Fruit. No question.
Well, Wrigley Spearmint tends to last longer than Juicy Fruit. Juicy Fruit, the taste is gonna move, yeah, right? That was Juicy Fruit.
That I'm not sure, but you are correct. Juicy Fruit doesn't last long. It really doesn't last that long. But like the flavor.
Right.
But it's so much better.
Have we talked about this? Do you remember what was the one with the zebra? Like the rainbow colored zebra?
Are we talking about chewing gum?
Yeah, chewing gum.
No, I don't know.
You would get the stick out and it would have zebra stripes.
Like stripes?
They were like rainbow stripes.
Okay.
I'm looking at our large studio audience, but this is way before his time. What is that?
I don't know. I'm going to go with Juicy Fruit.
No, I'll go with Spearmint. Twinkie or Ding Dong?
Twinkie, only because it would certainly survive a nuclear winter.
I'm going to go, Ding Dong is the, that's the chocolate, right?
Yeah, that's the chocolate.
It's like a chocolate dong.
Those are good. Those are really good.
I would go the Ding Dong, but I would always eat around the cream. I never liked the cream on the inside.
What's wrong with you?
It wasn't my thing. Fango Mint or Tootsie Roll?
I don't know what a Frango or Fango Mint is, so I'm going to go with Tootsie Roll.
Yeah, I'll do the same.
Yeah.
For the exact same reasons.
Right.
That's
Chicago.
Thank you. Chicago-style hot dog or deep-dish pizza?
Oh, man. Golly. If it were any other hot dog, I would always go with the pizza. But a Chicago-style hot dog, that's powerful.
Is that what we had when we were in Chicago?
We did eat one. And it's fine. It's fine. Like it stands on its own. So I love a deep dish pizza, but if it's a Chicago style hot dog, that wins.
Yep. I agree for the exact same reason. All right, great quick fire questions from Varge the Pipe Pirate. If you've got some quick fire questions, send them in to csr@podastery.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
Fruit stripes.
Yep. That's it. It's fruit stripes.
That stuff like was like tasty for like 2 seconds. Like even like sometimes before the entire thing like got wet.
Yeah.
Like the flavor was gone.
Yeah.
It was really good for a second. Fruit stripe gum. That's right. I remember that. All right, man. We got some great listener feedback, but first we got to tell you about the final sponsor for this episode. Of course, talking about This Pipe Life.
Man, This Pipe Life. Yeah. ThisPipeLife.com. A lot of folks have gotten involved with this now. It's become a real robust community in a real short amount of time. But if you go there, you can interact with just a whole host of people from across the country who are also passionate about the pipe, but in a new kind of environment that encourages social media and just, you know, modern technology, but also just has kind of a clean flavor to it that I think appeals to our generation. So we love This Pipe Life, good friends of the show. You'll find a bunch of things on there like forums, ways you can integrate your own pipe experiences with it, you know, ideas on, you know, best practices of, you know, cleaning your pipe, how to keep your pipe lit, pipe etiquette, all these kinds of things.
That's good.
Very important. So we love the folks at thispipelife.com, and we're proud to be associated with them, and hope you can check that out.
Yeah, looking forward to posting some more stuff. Actually posted right after our pirate episode.
That's right.
I'm curious to see what thoughts people had for for piracy and pipe tobacco. So go over there, thispipelife.com, give your thoughts, and we'd love to see that. Love to see it happen, thispipelife.com. Portland Paul just sent in a tweet of fruit stripe gum.
That's what fruit stripes look like.
You don't remember that?
I don't, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I was more of a, what was that? Fruit by the foot? Is that what that was?
Oh, yeah.
Is that stuff that like, it was like gum, like, but it came in like a, what looked like
a tape measure.
Yeah, it came in a tape measure type thing.
Yeah.
It had this real, ridiculous thing you had to peel off of it. I don't know. But
it was like a ballpark stable back in the day. Like for softball or for baseball.
You remember Big League Chew?
Boys played baseball.
Did you ever drink, eat? Chew, Big League Chew. The chewing gum?
No.
I guess they still make that.
Do you sell it here?
I know. I probably should.
Probably be illegal.
It's probably right. I don't know. I mean, it's gum. I don't know.
It is. All right, man. We got some great listener feedback in this week. Kevin W. wrote in, this is regarding the FDA show. He said, super informative.
Yeah.
Really dig a calm, level-headed discussion on what's going on, especially with all the panic out there. You know, and it's great feedback. Thank you so much for that, Kevin.
Yeah.
And I even thought about it at the time, knowing, you know, on this side of the table, so to speak, knowing that you were in the process of buying the shop.
Yeah, that
I
was kind of
be like, this is coming from somebody who's like about to go in, like, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Full
that's
into
right.
it.
Yeah. And I, you know, again, that was kind of an interesting thing that I had to hold back for a season, you know, while we got through our effort to, you know, make the switch over. And it's something I think. Obviously, I would not have, dove in on the Country Squire if I didn't think that we could weather the storm and all that kind of stuff. And I think with every, coming day, it seems like there's more and more progress as to kind of sorting some of this stuff out. There's a big coalition of folks that are really intent on making this, pipe and premium cigar friendly. And so, we're going to work through on that. But look, pipes are not going away. I think a lot of folks are thinking like, oh, well, all of a sudden this is going to go away and you won't be able to get in these blends anymore and, you know, all this kind of stuff. There are going to be things to work through, but, we're here to stay, man. Like, tobacco I want to be careful how I say this. Premium tobacco is part of the fabric of our culture. You know, even our country was founded, because of, the popularity of this stuff in the old world.
Yeah.
And so, we're not going anywhere. And the people that are crying fire in the, movie theater and all this kind of stuff, it's a big deal, but we're prepared and we're going to move forward and we're going to find new ways to adapt. And it's going to be because of people like us and like you that, care a lot about the passion of it, care a lot about the pastime of it. And it's a part of our lives and we're thankful for that. So yeah.
That's good, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to take that next one?
Absolutely. Rick the Sick on YouTube. He says, I'm a fairly new listener and you're doing a fantastic job. Just tell Butch we miss him. You should bring him on the show sometime. Man, that's great. Butch was actually in the shop yesterday for the first time in quite a while. He just took a new job and a really good friend of mine. But if you've seen some of our Country Squire videos on YouTube that we did before, my friend Butch Arthur and I would sit right here at this tobacco bar and kind of banter back and forth about a variety of things. And Butch is a really good friend and is one of a kind. So, I will definitely pass that along to him.
Yeah, man. Great stuff. We really appreciate this feedback, guys. Hey, if you got some feedback, you can always send it in. Email us, csr@podastery.com. You can also head over to iTunes and write us a review. We love it when you guys do that. We also would love for you to subscribe to us. And this is where I normally say subscribe to us on iTunes, but I'm not going to. You know why? Because you could subscribe to us on the Satchel Podcast Player for your iPhone.
Man, isn't that amazing?
That's right. Available, actually announcing it today as we record the show here on Monday. Yeah, we actually announced it today. Satchel is available on your iPhone. And so I would encourage all of you, as just a personal favor to me, if nothing else, head over to the App Store, download Satchel, the Satchel Podcast Player. Give it a try out. Let me know what you think. It's, it's been a I always want to make it a work in progress. We've gotten such great feedback in, but I always feel nervous about it to some extent.
No, like, you're putting your jewels out there.
A little bit.
You've been working really hard on this. Really proud of my friend Bo. He's worked really hard with his partner Briar, just on this incredible app that includes. I'm not even going to try to describe it, but it's the best way to listen to Country Squire Radio and your favorite podcasts. And we definitely hope that you go check it out.
So check it out, satchelplayer.com. We'll get you links to download it on your phone. You can also find it on the App Store. Subscribe to us there. You can also email us, csr@podastery.com. You can stay in touch with us throughout the week. You can email the show at Squire Radio, or you can email us directly at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
Of course, all those links can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com, where normally you can tune in live every single week. However, next week, for the live show, we will be off a week. Now,
Yeah.
Don't worry. We'll actually have a podcast out next week, but we will not have a live
fun
show.
Interview coming. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
It'll be great.
We'll be live the following Tuesday after that. So a little craziness with the schedule. Reason, of course, being is that I will be in London next week. Really looking forward to it. Speaking at New Media.
Ah, foggy London town.
It's going to be fun, man. And hey, if you happen to be in that area, you want to get together and smoke a pipe, then tweet me and we'll make it work out. I've got an entire week while I'm there. I have no earthly idea what I'm going to do. So I'm also looking for recommendations. Y'all let me know. But again, no live show next week, but we will have a podcast as per usual. Again, links to all that can be found at countrysquireradio.com. Well, man, a momentous occasion, and what a wonderful time to have a squire selected.
Man, I know. It's good to hoist a little bit of brown water with you and just kind of enjoy the moment, savor it, and of course, some good tobacco too. But I'm actually smoking tonight the first pipe I ever bought for Mrs. Reeves. This was before I started working at the Country Squire. It's a Savinelli Trevi. And when I saw this pipe, of course, you can buy this pipe now for, I think, I don't know, $115, $120, something like that. And when I saw this, I was a very broke graduate student thinking, okay, if I buy this, what kind of penance am I going to have to pay over the next month to if I shame myself enough, then buying this will be worth it.
And
it's totally been worth it.
Yeah, no, judging by the look of the inside bowl of that, it's seen some love.
Yeah, it's got a few miles on it.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.